Good evening. How are you this evening? It's good to see each of you in the service. We're glad that you're here, and I hope that the Lord blesses you. Just want to remind you about all of our teens, that if you've got youth camp forms, those need to be turned into Pastor Tyler this evening so that he can get those in the mail this week. So be sure to get those youth camp forms in. Be sure and remember that East Tennessee District Family Camp is going on this week. It begins tonight. In fact, it's beginning right about, no, it began an hour ago. I forget that that's Eastern time over there. But East Tennessee District Camp begins this evening and will go through Friday evening. The services will be at 6:30. If I could read my own writing here, the morning services will be at 10:30, and then the evening services are at 7, which would be 9:30 and 6 our time. And if you want to watch those will be streamed live and from Foothills Camp and Retreat Center. That's their Facebook page. And so I'd encourage you, if you want to see those, to be a part of those services, to be sure and do that. Remember, Super Summer Something, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And the choir is in charge. The meal for the evening is cold-cut sandwiches and all the fixings that go with that. If you're planning to attend and you're planning to eat, be sure and sign the form out in the foyer so that they will know how many to prepare for. Thursday evening, church board will be meeting here at the church at 6:30. It is a little bit of change up, but this is our only meeting that we're going to have like this year as far as this change. But Thursday evening, 6:30 in the conference room. Men's ministries will be having breakfast Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And so come and be a part of that. A lot of other announcements that are there. Be sure and be praying for Vacation Bible School, and that begins on June the 20th. And if you want to get your kids registered, or you've got kids in your neighborhood that you want to get registered, be sure and get them registered out there. There's also a link. There was a link in the e-newsletter that went out that you can click on, and that will take you, and you can register your kids there, or you can register, give it to someone else so that they can register their child. So a lot of other things in the newsletter. Be sure and look at that. And but we're so glad that you're here this evening. Glad to have those of you who are guests with us this evening, and we hope that the Lord blesses you. Tyler.
Well, we're going to do something a little different tonight. Underneath your chair is this magical thing called a hymnal. And the first song that we're going to sing is number 505. I chose that. The next two songs are undiscovered because you're going to choose those. So be thinking about that. And we'll get in with this. Somebody call out a number, and we will sing it together. If I know it, if I don't, I will tell you no, and we will sing something else. Let's turn to number 505 and sing together.
Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I replied. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from in the hatred and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that sadden my life. The glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture glorious Emancipator. Now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from fear with all of its torments. Freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He who has rid my fetters and clay. Glorious freedom.
Now it's your turn. Does somebody have a song that you want to sing? 395. Love Lifted Me.
I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. So mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me.
Now listen, y'all don't fight over it. It'll be all right. We'll do it again sometime. 348. He touched me.
Shackled by a heavy burden. The same. my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity holds. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made
Father God, we thank You tonight for Your touch. Father, we thank You that we can just reach out and touch the hem of Your garment and that we can be made whole. Father, I pray that You would help us, though, to know that at times we have to hold up our end of the bargain. Sometimes we have to force our way through the crowd and put aside all the nonsense in our life so that we can hear You and so we can experience Your touch. And so, Father, in these next moments, I pray that You would help us to do just that, that we would silence the crowd and that we would look to You for a touch that only You can give. God, there are many needs that are known among us, known maybe only to You, but Father, we pray for those tonight. God, we pray that You would work in ways that only You can. God, that we would see Your hand at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us, and we would be able to look back on these situations and say that it was Your hand that carried us through. God, we love You tonight. I pray that You would be with Pastor William as he brings the message that You have laid on his heart. Give him the words to say and hide him behind the cross. Father, for everything You do, we'll give You praise, honor, and glory for it. It's in Your holy name we pray.
Sarah Ann and Lily have our special this evening. Bless y'all as you come.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hitting glory in creation. Now we
compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name.
want to speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 8. As we have been going through the Beatitudes on Sunday nights, talking about this upside-down kingdom of which you and I are a part. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Our oldest daughter was in second grade, and we got a note from her teacher that said, "We think that Megan needs glasses." And then the note went on to say that the school nurse has tested her and thinks she is farsighted. Well, that was news to us, and so we took her to the optometrist, who did not confirm her being farsighted. They did confirm that she did need glasses, but they told us that she was very, very extremely nearsighted. How the nurse got it that mixed up, I don't know, but she did. Susie is very nearsighted, and she says that she has to get up to put her glasses on before she can answer the phone. When you know you used to have a phone. Marcy's over here shaking her head up and down. But I'll never forget Megan got in the car, and we went to get her glasses, and she got in the car, and we're driving home, and as we're driving home, I will never forget her saying this line to me, "Oh, Daddy, I can see all the leaves on the trees." Now, I want you to know that when she said that, I felt about that tall. Because we had no idea, that the child needed glasses. I suppose that she had faked everything. She sat toward the front of the class. The teacher always told her she was a wonderful student. And, you know, I guess all that time she had just seen the trees as these big green blobs that were there. Wow. Poor parenting, I guess. You know, I've seen videos, though, of people who are colorblind, and they have special glasses that they make for these folks, and suddenly they can put on these glasses, and all of a sudden their entire world changes when they see all the various colors. Can you imagine for just a moment, can you imagine being blind and then suddenly after surgery being able to see the trees or the ocean or a bird or your loved one that you've never seen before? You see, the miracle of someone seeing for the first time, I think, would be something that would be hard to describe. It would be overwhelming, I think, to be that person and all of a sudden go from everything being a blur or everything being black to see even what we see in this room this evening. The lights and the colors and the people. You all look pretty good tonight, you know. Well, if you begin to think about it, and it's a wonderful thing when we stop and think about it. I know that it's been a very sad week for us here at the church to think about Brother Lloyd and his passing. But I can tell you, it must have been such a grand experience for him to simply go to sleep on one side of eternity and to wake up on the other side. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, the Mercy Me, the song, I Can Only Imagine. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like? To think what he must have experienced in those first few moments. I mean, I understand that Megan got to see the leaves on the trees. But to think about seeing Jesus, to think about seeing heaven. Jesus says here in this sixth beatitude, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I want you to notice something right off about this. In order for you and I to be able to see God, we need more than just a change of glasses. We need a change of heart. There has to be something more than just taking the glasses on and putting them off. These are new glasses, and I am still getting used to them. In fact, yesterday, Susie and I were talking, and I said, "These things are bothering me. because they're wider than what I did have, and they're rounder than what I did have, and I'm having to get used to it all over again. But at least I can see. But changing my glasses did nothing in relationship to what I know of God. And so if you and I want to see God, there's going to have to be something that happens in us. And as we've done over the past few weeks, we're going to basically do the same 3 points that we've done all these past weeks as we've looked at this. And we're going to look, the first thing that I want you to see here is, what does blessed are the pure in heart, what does that really mean? What does it mean to see God? What does it really mean? Well, the first thing that I want you to notice, if you and I are really going to be able to see God, there has to be something that happens. I've already said it, but there has to be an internal cleansing that happens. The Old Testament speaks about this. And I think when Jesus speaks about being pure in heart, Jesus is referring probably to Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4, where the psalmist said, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place?" And then he answers the question, because he says, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." I mean, the Old Testament prophets, they looked forward to a point in time in which God would give man clean hearts. You go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 26. And there Ezekiel speaks and he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I mean, we understand that there has to be something more than just a change of glasses in order for us to see God. There has to be something that happens on the inside of us. One of the conflicts that Jesus had with the Pharisees was that they wanted everything to be clean on the outside, but it didn't matter what was going on the inside as far as they were concerned. And in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28, Jesus says this to them. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees." And listen to what he says to them. He says, "You hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." And then he says, "Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Wow. How would you like it if I were to get up here tonight and call up you hypocrites? Ron is at family camp. I know where he's at, you know. I mean, think about that for a minute. Jesus cuts through all of their righteousness and really gets right to the heart of the matter when he begins to show them that everything may look right on the outside, but on the inside, everything is corrupt. And Jesus is calling when he begins to tell us that if we want to see God, then there has to be something that happens on the inside. There also has to be a devotion that begins to happen to God. The word pure here basically has two meanings. It has the meaning of clean, or it has the meaning unmixed. It can be used in the sense of water, but it also can be used in the sense of metal that people would try to take the alloys out of it. In other words, what he's speaking here is there cannot be a divided heart when it comes to the things of God. We just finished up the book of James on Wednesday night. And James chapter 4, verse 4, James says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So when you begin to look at this, pure in heart speaks
of a heart that doesn't have anything mixed in there. There are no mixed motives. There are no divided loyalties. It has a relationship with God that is as it's supposed to be. A singleness of mind, so to speak. That's what James said in James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And so if you and I are going to have pure hearts, there has to be a cleansing there that only God can do. There has to be a devotion there of where we remove everything that would hinder our relationship with God. And we keep our minds and our hearts and our eyes focused on Him and Him alone. And Jesus says here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In other words, they're not focused on anything else. There is no mixed motives. There are no mixed loyalties. All of their attention is on Him. So that's what pure in heart means. But what kind of devotion does it call for? And I know I've been dealing with this for this, but let's move a little deeper into that. What kind of devotion is really needed? If we want to understand what kind of devotion God wants to us, we really have to understand the word heart here. And the word heart, as is mentioned here, it means more than just this thing that is beating inside of us. It's really talking about our mind. It's talking about our emotions. It's talking about our will. It includes everything that we are, everything that we think about, everything that we hope to be, what we feel, what we decide. I mean, in other words, pure in heart, it means that every part of us has been changed and is concentrated totally, singularly on God. God wants a radical change in us that only He can bring about. He wants our hearts to be clean. And you say, well, why does God want our hearts to be clean? Well, because of all the human problems that are there. Now, you may not have problems, but I live with William. You notice I didn't say I live with Susie. I live with William. I know William better than anybody else in this room. You know, I've told you before that it's not all these people out here that I have problems with. It's that guy that I see every morning in the mirror. And I'm telling you, something bad has happened to him. I don't know what it is, but he's gotten old, you know. God understood our heart. That's one of the reasons, and today is Pentecost Sunday, that is one of the reasons that He sent the Holy Spirit to do something about our heart, to do something about our devotion to Him. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And then, and that this is from the New Living Translation, and then the next part of that verse said, who really knows how bad it is? Think about that for a moment. Who really knows how bad it is? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, He says, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Basically, what we have to do is we have to take a real good look on the inside of our hearts to know what God is saying is absolutely, positively true. Russian novelist said, I do not know what the heart of a bad man looks like, but I do know what the heart of a good man is like, and it is terrible. Boy, when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness. There are a lot of good people that are wandering up and down the streets of our city tonight that have horrible things going on the inside of them. Well, if that is the case, how is it that you and I can have a pure heart? I mean, and you go on down in chapter 5 here. Now remember, this is the beginning of this magnificent sermon, and I'll just be honest about it. I really think that what we're going to do is we're not going to stop at the end of the Beatitudes. I think we're just going to keep going through the Sermon on the Mount. That's what I think the Lord is leading me to do in relation to this. And you go on down to verse 48, and Jesus throws this in there. Jesus says in verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Oh my. You say, well, how is that possible? I know me all too well. How is that possible? There's only one thing that you and I can do in order to make this possible. And that's that we basically have to throw ourselves on the grace of God and receive what He is able to do in our hearts and lives. He has to take His character and make His character our character. He begins to work on us. He begins to bring about the image of Christ in us. He begins with His Spirit in us. And then through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, He's able to do even more because we are completely yielded to Him. I'm going to say this, and I realize how harsh it is before I say it, but I really want us to think about this tonight. If the character of this upside-down kingdom that I've been preaching on for the past 6 weeks, if the character of this upside-down kingdom, if the character of Christ is not displaying itself in some form or fashion, then we really need to go back, I think, and look at ourselves and really begin to look at our relationship with Christ and determine whether or not we really are doing all that we need to do in this relationship. One author said, "God demands from you and me a humanly impossible character, but then He gives us that character by His grace." Isn't that good? He does something in us. We cannot do what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. There is no way that you and I, humanly speaking, can be perfect. But God, don't you like those words? But God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, can do a work in us that brings about a perfect love for God. And I believe a perfect love for man. And I'm going to get to that here in just a few moments. But God demands this. This is not some suggestion that we are being given here. This is a demand of God on your life and on my life. This is not subject to, oh, well, I might take that or I might leave that. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. This is what God is saying I want in you. This is what He is bringing about in us. Well, what is the reward? We've talked about what it means. We've talked about that we need this devotion to Him. But what is the reward of all of this? And that's been the last point of every message that we've looked at for the past 6 weeks. He says there in verse 8 one more time, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I knew that Tyler was going to do the songs like he did tonight. He and I had talked about that. And what I really wanted him to do, and I knew that I would take one from somebody else if I did it. But I really wanted to sing "Be Thou My Vision." You know. But had I done that, we would not have sang "Love Lifted Me." Or we would not have sang, what was the other one that we sang? What's that? "He Touched Me." You know, one of those would have got left out, and I guess we could have done it anyway. You know, I'm the pastor. But what is the reward of all of this? I believe it is a vision of God Himself. Now, I'm not talking about some transcendental thing, you know. I'm talking about that we really then begin to see God. It may not be with these human eyes, but we begin to experience God. And Henry Blackaby took that title and did so much with it. But we begin to experience God in a new way that maybe we'd never thought of before. And there is something concrete, for they will see God. They will see God. Well, how do we see God? Well, I think we see God now. I mean, we see Him working in so many ways. We see Him as we read our Bible, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But it's when we begin to see Him move in ways that maybe we hadn't seen Him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There are a lot of days that when I go home and I see these near misses that happen, all of a sudden it hits me. The reason that was not me was because God was with me. That doesn't mean that He wasn't with the other person, but it does mean that He was with me. We begin to see things in new and in fresh ways that we come to the understanding that the reason that happens is because of God and His prevenient grace in our lives. We see God's mercy as it works. We see God in these events in our lives. When Matthew wrote his gospel, and it's interesting if you go through here, I believe it's more than a dozen times that Matthew uses the word fulfilled. And basically he is showing us as he's using that word that God is working and He is bringing about His good purpose. And I really do believe that if you and I are in the will of God, if our hearts are devoted to Him, then we're going to be able to see God in the circumstances of our lives. John Wesley once said that he read the newspaper to see what God was doing in his world. I didn't really know that they had newspapers as such in that point in time, but we see God in the difficulties of life. I stood here Friday and talked about Lloyd. And you know, it was amazing his attitude. I mean, he had pastored for 44 years. Pastored one church for 30 years. But in all of the things that happened with Tracy and with him and the suddenness of all of this, he still was seeing God at work in all of it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Job 42 verse 5 says, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." He's speaking to God there. And all the circumstances and the situations that Job went through, he says, "I had heard of you, but now in the circumstances of my life, I see you." And for you and me, it may be in those circumstances of life that we really do come to see God and see Him work in our lives, in the good and the bad. We like the good. We really do like the good. But I'm going to tell you, He is the same God in the bad that He is in the good. And we see Him in the events of life. We see Him in the words of the Bible. I will never forget sitting in my mom and dad's living room. And there was a discussion going on around the table. And the person who was sitting at that table said to my dad, I don't understand how anybody can read the Bible. Well, that caught my attention as a freshman in college, you know. I don't understand how anybody can read the Bible. And then she added, it's full of contradictions. Well, now she really had my attention. But I wanted to see what he was going to say. I wanted to hear what he was going to say. She didn't like him as well when she left as she did when she got there. Because he basically told her that for you to really be able to see what the Bible is saying, there has to be a certain amount of spiritual preparation that goes on. The reason so many people look at the Bible and only see contradictions is because they are looking for contradictions. They are not looking for the God of the Bible to speak to them through it. They're double-minded. And the Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. But isn't it amazing that someone who loves Jesus, who has seen Him work in their lives, can sit down and all of a sudden open up the Bible, and it may just be that it falls open to a passage of Scripture, and all of a sudden they begin to read, and the very words that they needed to hear for that day are the very words that God speaks to them through the Bible. I've had it happen. I mean, I've had those days where I just wanted to give up, where I wanted to walk out, where I didn't care what anybody thought. I had it. And have my Bible fall open. I don't recommend this because you might end up with a lot of wives, you know. Took you just a moment there, didn't it? We were really trying to decide what we needed to do. A friend of ours had just shown up at Mom and Dad's. We had stopped at Mom and Dad's and gone on over to Susie's Mom and Dad's, and we were coming back through, and we were over near Heflin, Alabama. And I told Susie, I said, let's go by Mom and Dad's on our way home. So we turned there at Heflin, went up through there, through the back roads of Alabama, and came to Piedmont and drove up in the driveway. And when we got there was a car there, and walked in, and it was a guy that I had known since I had been a kid, and he was pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. And he told me as we were there, and we got to talking about all the things that were going on in our lives, and he told me, he said, William, why don't you come and talk to my district superintendent? And so we were really just trying to decide what we were supposed to do. And I mean, I was at a point where I just didn't know what to do. I mean, I really was. And so I said, and like I say, I don't recommend doing this. I practice it, but I don't recommend it. Don't practice it all the time. And I laid my Bible down on the desk, and it opened up. We were trying to decide whether we should stay where we were, whether we should go somewhere else, come to the Church of the Nazarene. Because we didn't know anybody. We only knew one person, and that was Lamar. And he was the one that we were talking to. And I opened my Bible. It fell open to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that was 40 years ago. And He's been faithful. You see, His Word comes alive to us. It does something. And we see God at work in His Word. We see God working through His Word. We see God and through His Word and through what He is doing, we become more like what He wants us to be. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory," get this, "are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord." Isn't that amazing? We're being transformed. As we're going through this process, we are being transformed. And the more our hearts are focused on God, the more we become single-minded on Him, and the more we see Him at work in our hearts and lives. And the more we see Him, hold on, the more we see Him, the more we see what He sees. You say, "William, what in the world are you talking about?" The more that we see Him, the more that we see those people who are out there who are hurting. The more that we see Him, the more that we're able to recognize that God is wanting to do something through us for them. I mean, spiritual sight leads to spiritual insight. We're able to see things that maybe we could not see before because we were blinded to it, but now the heart of God has become our heart. And we begin to see things that we've never seen before. They've always been there. But our hearts are more in tune with Him. They're more tender to the things that He is wanting us to be tender toward. And we see what He sees. We see the mission of God. I've been looking at what happened in between the resurrection and Pentecost. We've been looking at that on Sunday mornings, and we begin to see the mission field that He told us was going to be there. We begin to see what He sees. But lastly, in all of this, one of these days we are going to see Him. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about face to face. I'm talking about being able to see Him. And the Bible tells us that if you and I are going to see Him, then we're going to have a pure heart. Follow peace with all men and what? Holiness, without which what? No man shall see the Lord. The greatest event in my history will not be the day I was born. The greatest event that will happen in my history is when I see Him. The greatest event that's going to happen in your history is not when you were born or when you were saved, or it's going to be when you see Him. Fanny Crosby said, "I shall know Him. I shall know Him." And she had never seen anything. But she said, "We'll know Him." Job said, Job 19, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that at the end He will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." But He doesn't stop there. He says, "I myself will see Him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I believe we're going to see God in the now. I'm looking forward to seeing God in the future. But in order for us to see God in the now, in order for us to see God in the future, there has to be a purity of heart. Conclusion. Well, if that is the case, then what is our focus? What is our focus? Are we going to focus on the things that are around us? Are we going to focus on this world that is so corrupt? Or are we going to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? That's got to be our focus. You know, I take these off and things kind of get out of focus. Not real bad, but they do get out. You wouldn't want to ride with me if with my glasses. You might not want to ride with me anyway, but I'm thankful for all of the things that are in our world to try to help people better themselves. But folks, let me tell you something. There is not a self-help book. There is not a self-help group that can do for you what Jesus can do for you. I still think about Megan. She had gone for 8 years and wasn't aware that the world could be clear. And there are a lot of people that you and I meet as we go in Walmart and in Rural King and in wherever it is that we go, that they are not aware that things can be put into focus. They have no idea that there is a cure for their problem. They don't. But we know. But we know. Our eyes have been made clear. Our focus has been straightened out. We know. We understand. And if we're going to be the people of God that we need to be, as I preached about this morning, if we're going to be the people of God that we need to be, then there has to be something that happens in our hearts. We have to have a pure heart. And in this upside down kingdom, the only way to see God is to have your heart changed, not your glasses. I thought it was a cute title anyway. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've told us in your word that if we're going to see God, that there has to be something happen in our heart. We're thankful, Lord, that you didn't just tell us that it needs to be changed, but you have provided the means by which it can be changed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our hearts. Help us, Lord, to look at our own heart and see if it's where it needs to be. Help us, Lord, to determine whether it's well with our soul. Lord, if we allow you to change our hearts, then we're going to begin to see things in a different way. We're going to begin to see things in your word. We're going to begin to see people as you see them. We're going to begin to see all that we can do for the sake of your kingdom. One day, Lord, we're going to see you face to face. But it only happens if there is a pure heart. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to examine ourselves. Help us to judge ourselves. Help us, Lord, to really see ourselves as you see us. As Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." And then you took care of the problem. Help us, O God, to allow you to take care of our problem. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for these few verses that we've looked at for the past 6 weeks. We still have two more to go, Lord. May your word and your work become increasingly clear to us as we look in these next two. And for what you're going to do for us, we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad that all of you were with us this evening here in church. Glad that you were with us on Facebook this evening. Be sure and leave us a comment that you were with us this evening. We're glad that you were with us. May God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Remember, Super Summer Something Wednesday night, 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center, and the choir's in charge. And Marcy's shaking her head. Lord bless you. I'm glad you're here this evening. You're dismissed.